Blog Talk Radio.
Amen, amen, and praise the Lord, everybody. This is Apostle Dr. Deborah Dean with the End Time Men and Women of War Global Ministries, along with the Life Support Outreach Church and our prayer room ministry. So delighted today to be back on our live broadcast for the study of God's Word. On today, we're just going to have a short devotion. I'm going to read a scripture and a little song, and then I'm going to pray, and then we're going to go right into the Word of God. And today, I'm going to be reading from Psalms 119, verse 57. Starting with verse 57, Thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep thy word. I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. I thought on my ways and turned my feet into thy testimony. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandment. The bands of the wicked have robbed me, but I have not forgotten the law, thy law. At midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. I am a companion of all them that fear thee and of them that keep thy precepts. O Lord, is full of mercy. Teach me thy statutes. I have just read you from Psalms 119, starting with verse 57. 64. Let me see what I got. Wait a minute, child.
May your struggle keep you near the cross, and may your trouble show that you need God, and may your battle in the way they should, and may your bandage prove that God is good, and may your whole life prove that God is good. See, may your struggle keep you near the cross, and may your struggle show that you need God, and may your battle in the way they should, and may your God, he made your whole life that God needs. He made your struggle keep you near the cross. He made your struggle show that you need God. He made your battle in the God, he left your whole life.
Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, we come tonight, God, asking you now to forgive us for every known and unknown sin, Father, that we've committed against you in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, I come tonight just confessing and repenting, asking for forgiveness and cleansing through the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Lord, I come now, God, asking you to let me decrease, that the Holy Ghost may increase, and teach us tonight, Lord. I have no knowledge of myself, none, but it's you, O God. I ask you now, God, in the mighty name of Jesus, to have your way. Just open up our understanding. Open up our minds, God, that we may receive your word just like you intend us to receive it, God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Then I ask you now, and I bind the strong man right now, God, from this radio broadcast. I bind him up right now. Every witch, wizard, warlord, psychic, demon, medium, demon on assignment, your assignment is canceled right now from this live broadcast and from our lives. In the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, I just thank you now. Lord, bless everyone under the sound of my voice. Lord, just open up our understanding in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. So let it be. Amen.
2 Kings. Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jedidiah, the daughter of Adabiah of Bozak. And he was right in the sight of the Lord, and he walked in the ways of his father David. He did not turn aside to the right or to the left. Now it came to pass in the 18th year of the king of Josiah that King sent Shaphan, the scribe, the son of Azariah, the son of Meshullah, to the house of the Lord, saying, go up to Hilkiah, the high priest, that he may count the money which was brought unto him to the house of the Lord, which the doorkeeper hath gathered from the people, and let them deliver it into the hand of those who work, who are overseers in the house of the Lord. Let them give it to those who are in the house of the Lord doing the work to repair the damages of the house, to carpenters, to builders and masons, and to buy timber and hew stone to repair the house. However, there need be no accounting made with them of the money delivered into their hand, because they deal faithfully. Then Hilkiah, the high priest, said to Shaphan, the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read. So Shaphan, the scribe, went to the king, bringing the king word, saying, your servants have gathered the money that was found in the house and have delivered it into the hand of those who work, who oversee the house of the Lord. Then Shaphan, the scribe, showed the king, saying, Hilkiah, the priest, has given me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. Now it happened when the king heard the words of the book of the law that he tore his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah, the priest, Akim, the son of Shaphan, Akbor, the son of Micaiah, Shaphan the scribe, and Asaiah, the servant of the king, saying, go inquire of the Lord for me, for the people and all of Judah, concerning the words of this book that was found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is aroused against us, because our fathers have not obeyed the words of this book to do according to all that is written concerning us. So Hilkiah the priest, Akim, Akbor, Shaphan, and Asaiah went to Huldah the prophetess, the wife of Shallum, the son of Tikvan, the son of Harus, keeper of wardrobe. She dwelt in Jerusalem in the second quarter, and they spoke with her. Then she said to them, said the Lord of Israel, Tell the man who sent you to me, thus said the Lord, behold, I will bring calamity on this place and its inhabitants, all the words of the book which the king of Judah has read, because they have forsaken me and burned incense to their God, that they might provoke me to anger with all the words of their hands. Therefore my wrath shall be aroused against this place and shall not be quenched. But as for the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of the Lord in this manner, you shall speak to him. Thus saith the Lord, O God of Israel, concerning the words which you have heard, because your heart was tender, and you humbled yourself before the Lord, when you heard that I spoke against this place and against its inhabitants, that they would become a desolation and cursed, and tore your clothes and wept before me. I also have heard you, says the Lord, surely therefore I will gather you to your fathers, and you shall be gathered to your graves in peace, and your eyes shall not see all the calamity which I will bring on this place. So they brought back word to the king. Amen. The word of the Lord.
And the king sent, and they gathered unto him all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. And the king went up into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem with him, and the priests and the prophets and all the people, both small and great. And he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant, which was found in the house of the Lord. And the king stood by a pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord, to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all their heart and all their soul, to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book. And all the people stood to the covenant. And the king commanded Hilkiah, the high priest, and the priest of the second order, and the keepers of the door, to bring forth out of the temple of the Lord all the vessels that were made for Baal, and for the grove, and for all the host of heaven. And he burned them without Jerusalem in the fields of Kidron, and carried the ashes of them unto Bethel. And he put down the idolatrous priests who the kings of Judah had ordained to burn incense in the high places in the cities of Judah, and in the places round about Jerusalem. Them also that burn incense unto Baal, to the sun, and to the moon, and to the planet, and to all the host of heaven. And he brought out the grove from the house of the Lord without Jerusalem unto the brook Kidron, and burned it at the brook Kidron, and stamped it small to powder, and cast the powder thereof upon the graves of the children of the people. And he brake down the houses of the Sodomites that were by the house of the Lord, where the women wove hangings for the grove. And he brought all the priests out of the cities of Judah, and defiled the high places where the priests had burned incense, from Geba to Beersheba, and break down the high places of the gates that were in the entering in the gate of Joshua, the governor of the city, which were on a man's left hand at the gate of the city. Nevertheless, the priests of the high places came not up to the altar of the Lord in Jerusalem, but they did eat the unleavened bread among their brethren. And he defiled Tophath, which is in the valley of the children of Hinnom, that no man make the son of his daughter to pass through the fire to Molech. And he took away the horses that the king of Judah had given to the sons at the entering in the house of the Lord by the chambers of Nathan Molech, the chamberlain, which was the suburbs, and burned the chariots of the sun with fire, and the altars that were on the top of the upper chamber of Ahaz, which the king of Judah had made, and the altars which Manasseh had made in the two courts of the house of the Lord, did the king beat down and break them down from thence, and cast the dust of them into the brook Kidron, and the high places that were before Jerusalem, which were on the right hand of the Mount of Corruption, which Solomon, the king of Israel, had built for Ashtaroth, the abomination of Zidion, Chemosh, the abomination of the Moabites, and the Milcom, and for the Milcom, the abomination of the children of Ammon, did the king defile. And he brake in pieces the images, and cut down the groves, and filled their places with the bones of men. Moreover, the altar that was at Bethel, and the high places with Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin, had made both the altar and the high place. He brake down and burned the high place, and stamped it small to powder, and burned the grove. And as for Josiah, turned himself, he spied the sculptures that were there in the mount, and sent and took the bones out of the sculpture, and burned them upon the altar, and polluted it, according to the word of the Lord, which the man of God proclaimed, who proclaimed these words. Then he said, "What title is that that I see?" And the man and the men of the city told him, "It is the sculpture of the man of God, which came from Judah and proclaimed these things that thou hast done against the altar of Bethel." And he said, "Let him alone. Let no man move his bones." So they let the bones alone with the man. They let the bones alone with the bones of the prophet that came out of Samaria, and all the house of the high places there that were in the city of Samaria, which the king of Israel had made to provoke the Lord to anger, Josiah took away and did to them according to all the acts that he had done in Bethel. And he slew all the priests of the high place that were there upon the altars, and burned men's bones upon them, and returned to Jerusalem. And the king commanded all the people, saying, "Keep the Passover unto the Lord your God, as it is written in the book of this covenant. Surely there was not holding such a Passover from the days of the judges that judged Israel, nor in all the days of the kings of Israel, nor of the king of Judah, but 10th year of the king Josiah, wherein this Passover was holding to the Lord in Jerusalem. Moreover, the workers with familiar spirits, and the wizards, and the images, and the idols, and all the abominations that were spied in the land of Judah and in Jerusalem, did Josiah put away, that he might perform the word of the law, which were written in the book of Hilkiah, the priest, found in the house of the Lord. And like unto him was there no king before him that turned to the Lord with all his heart, and with all his soul, and with all his might, according to all the law of Moses. Neither after him arose there any like him, notwithstanding the Lord turned not from the fierceness of his great wrath, wherewith his anger was kindled against Judah, because of all the provocation of Manasseh had provoked him withal. And the Lord said, "I will remove Judah also out of my sight, as I have removed Israel, and will cast off this city, Jerusalem, which I have chosen, and the house of which I said, my name shall be there." Now the rest of the acts of Josiah and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the king of Judah? In his days, Pharaoh Necho, king of Egypt, went up against the king of Assyria to the river Euphrates, and the king Josiah went against him, and he slew him at Megiddo when he had seen him. And his servant carried him in a chariot dead from Megiddo and brought him to Jerusalem and buried him in his own sepulchre. And the people of the land took Jehoahaz, the son of Josiah, and appointed him and made him king in his father's stead. Jehoahaz was 23 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 3 months in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Hamutal, the daughter of Jeremiah of Libna. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his fathers had done. And Pharaoh Necon put him in bands at Riblah in the land of Hamath, that he might not reign in Jerusalem, and put the land to a tribute of 100 talents of silver and a talent of gold. And Pharaoh Necon made Eliakim, the son of Josiah, king in the room of Josiah, his father, and turned his name to Jehoiakim, and took Jehoahaz away, and he came to Egypt and died there. And Jehoiakim gave the silver and the gold to Pharaoh, but he taxed the land to give the money according to the commandments of Pharaoh, and he extracted the silver and the gold of the people of the land, of everyone according to his taxation, to give it unto Pharaoh Necon. Jehoiakim was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Zebudah, the daughter of Penadana of Ruma. And he did that which was even in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father had done. The word of God for the people of God. Okay. Okay, we're going to answer these questions. Okay. Chapter 22. How old was Josiah when he became king of Jerusalem? 8 years old. What kind of king was Josiah before the Lord?
Verse 2, he was a king like his father, David. He did what was right in the sight of the Lord.
Absolutely. Okay. What did Hilkiah, the high priest, find in the temple?
Well, listen, the Bible says that they believed that he had actually found the Pentateuch, which is the 5 books of the law. And that's the Pentateuch, which is the first five books that was written by Moses. And what he had found.
Okay. How did Josiah react to the words of the book of the law?
He was saddened. He was sad because he knew that his people had not kept the law. And so he had rented his clothes.
Mm-hmm. Amen. And humbled himself, yep. Chapter 23. What did Josiah remove from the temple of the law?
Was it in verse 4 where he brought out of the temple court all of the articles that he made from
him? Yeah. He removed all those false gods and all those articles used for their worship. He removed them from the house of the Lord and destroyed them. Mm-hmm. Yep. when I was reading, because I couldn't find this earlier, but when I was reading chapter 23, I think I found what prophecy was fulfilled by the bones in the tomb on the mountain.
Yeah, the book of Deuteronomy. Yeah.
I got 1 Kings 13, verses 1 and 2.
1 Kings. Well, I mean, but it's got to be in this book. It's got to be, it's coming out of here. It's right here in 2 Kings.
Make it. No, it's coming out of the book. But when it was first, you see, you got to still, we're looking at the five Pentateuch. So when we're looking at the law, we have to see when it first was established. So he was fulfilling what would be done to the ashes of them. Bob said that he scattered, you know, ashes of the relics, not inside the temple, you know, well, further out. I'll speak on that a little later. But what it was that he was going through what the Pentateuch, the law, had told him. So it was the fulfillment. If you read chapter Deuteronomy 28, you would see what would happen to them if they didn't. So it was a blessing, and then it was a cursing. So that's why I said in the book of Deuteronomy 28. Then we can go into...
Bishop. Whoever that is. Can you mute your phone, whoever that is? Whoever that is, please mute your phone, please.
Okay. Also, Apostle, I found that it said what prophecy was fulfilled by the bones in the tombs. You know, that prophecy in 1 Kings chapter 13, verses 2, when it reads, "The altar, the Lord says to you, David's family will have a son. His name will be Josiah, the priest of the high places, are now burning incense on you. But Josiah will offer the priest on you and burn human bones on you, so you can never be used again." And this prophet, Anonymous, that gave that word, and his bones will be in the tombs on the mountains. That anonymous prophet that gave that prophecy in 1 Kings chapter 13, verse number 2.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was from Samaria.
But why would they ask a question for 2 Kings, and it's not in here, saying that, okay, anyway, who had prophesied this? I'm just asking a question. I'm asking it because I'm still kind of don't know about this. I really don't. But anyway, who prophesied this? So it said, what prophecy was fulfilled by the bones in the tomb on the mountain, and who prophesied it, and who was buried next to it? So I read all of this earlier. I can remember reading this stuff earlier. I'm going to go back over because I know I read it earlier. And let me see. And he brought out all the priests out of the city of Judah and defiled the high place where the priests had burned incense from Gibeah, whatever it is, to Beersheba, and break down the high places of the gates that were in the entrance in the gate of Joshua, the governor of the city, which there were on a man's left hand at the gate of the city. Nevertheless, the priest of the high place came not up to the altar of the Lord in Jerusalem, But they did eat of the unleavened bread among their brethren. And he defiled Tophet, which is in the valley of the children of Hinnom, that no man might make his sons or his daughters to pass through the fire to Molech. And he took away the horses that the king of Judah had given to the sons, and at the entering of the house of the Lord, they, the Lord, by the chamber of Nathan Melech, the chamberlain, which was in the suburbs, and burned the chariot of the sun with fire, and the altars that were on the top of the upper chamber of Ahaz, which the king of Judah had made, and the altars which Manasseh had made in the two courts of the house of the Lord, did the king beat down and break them down from hence, and cast the dust of them into the brook Kidron. And the high places that were before Jerusalem, which were on the right hand of the Mount of Corruption, which Solomon, the king of Israel, had built for Ashtaroth, the abomination of the Zidians, and the Chemosh, the abomination of the Moabites, and the Milcon, and the abomination of the children of, wait a minute, child, let me just put some people on here. That just got me all puzzled right there. I'm just really puzzled about it because...
Well, if I'm not mistaken, if we read 1 Kings, the 12th chapter, the 22nd verse, it actually gives a name because it boldly says the man of God, which we all know the man of God means prophet of the Lord. It gives him a name by the name of Shemaiah. Shemaiah, the man of God. That is on the 22nd of the 12th chapter.
Okay.
This is the only name that is by the man of God, because from here on it only speaks of his title, not so much of his name. And you can also find it in the book of 2 Chronicles, the 12th chapter.
Okay. So all of this was pagan, these were pagan temples and shrines. And he slew all the priests of the high places. So the high places are temples, pagan temples and shrines that were there up on the altars, and burned men bones. That's on Prophet Salah said on 23:20, and burned men bones up on them and returned to Jerusalem. That's what I was talking about. And the king commanded all the people, saying, keep the Passover unto the Lord your God, as it is written in the book of his covenant. Surely that was not holding such a Passover from the days of the judges that judged Israel, nor in all the days of the kings of Israel, nor in the king of... So they had stopped the Passover back in Deuteronomy, I guess, back there. Let me see. They had stopped the Passover. I didn't know that in the book of Judges, I guess. That's what it says.
And that's why 2 Kings come in, you know, as Josiah, because he maybe, to me, even though he knew, you know, I'll say this, he knew what they showed him, but he didn't know the law. So the Bible said he rent his clothes because he didn't know the law, but he only knew what people showed him, how to become a king, how to walk, what to do, just like presidency, you know, he can't really change anything, even though he has the right to change within his first 100 days. They'll fight against it because you know, he's trying to get things done, and they're not really teaching him true prophetic etiquette. They're just teaching him how to just be royal and royalty.
Yeah. Yeah. So he reinstitutes the Passover. Mm-hmm. Okay. Who was buried next to this prophet? Let's see. Let me see what verse I got. It was a prophet from Samaria who had he was the one that was the next one who had pulled a man up to stand and eating with him. Mm-hmm. I didn't quite get these questions and stuff, but you know, I didn't even get everything until I read it the second time. When I was reading, when I read it, I didn't get everything like this. And you know, these questions to me are off. But okay, verse 4. What nation defeated Judah and Megiddo?
The Egyptians?
Egypt. Mm-hmm. That should be in verse 9, is it? I don't know. Or 29, I'm sorry. Verse 29, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Is it verse 29?
Yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Who rebelled against the king of Egypt?
It was Josiah.
It's Jehoiakim.
What was your question?
Who rebelled against the king of Egypt?
What verse was that?
It's right here.
So I looked for that, and
I think it was the angel gave the silver and the gold.
It's in verse 29.
Is it in 29?
In verse 29, it says, while Josiah was king, Pharaoh Necho, the king of Egypt, went to fight against the king of Assyria. And the Euphrates River, Josiah went out to meet Necho at Megiddo. Pharaoh saw Josiah and killed him. So Josiah went up against the king of Egypt. So I thought the answer was Josiah, but maybe not. So I thought the answer was Josiah. Yeah, these questions was a little weird.
Yeah, it was weird.
Well, I know Judah. To say, I think it was first of all, when you're in battle like that, as kings, they never get into a fist fight. So that was more of a cheap shot, you know, because believe it or not, that's the same way we still do war. That we still do war like that today. We'll have the Prime Minister of Russia to meet our American president. They don't fight. They argue over principles and politics. But then they declare war after they shake hands. So it was more as if he killed him without notice, because it wasn't supposed to go down like that. But
Josiah disguised himself.
That's right. He went up.
Yeah, he went into battle.
It wasn't supposed to be that way.
Right.
Okay.
But the prophetess Huldah prophesied that Josiah would not see the future of the prophecy come to pass. Mm-hmm. So that was in her letter, in her word to him, that he wouldn't live to see it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why he disguised himself and went in into war and was killed.
Mm-hmm. Because that's a slick move. That means,
mm-hmm.
You know, if other kings knew that that's how you do business, we're just going to ravish you. We're just going to kill you. We're going to come
mm-hmm.
in your kingdom, and there's no conversation because that's against kings. We don't war like that. That's not how we war. We allow our people to war for us.
Mm-hmm.
Believe it or not, gangs still do it today.
I bet. So this was one of the first ladies that God had used in this Old Testament, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, she
and,
was.
And Deborah was there.
Yeah, Deborah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She was one
and
of the
Josiah
first women.
Josiah was one of the youngest kings.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He was the youngest king, and, you know, he was righteous in the sight of the Lord. And, you know, and he was so, you know, wanted to make sure his people was obeying the law. And, you know, I just think that is so very important as pastors and teachers and preachers and leaders that we should, you know, preach and teach the word of God, just straight word, the word truth of God, the Bible. And when
mm-hmm.
he heard and knew and found out, you know, he was making sure he was teaching and reading the word of God to his people and that they were obeying him. It was just, you know, something beautiful that you saw because he had came after his granddad and then his father, they were both evil kings. And he took the throne at the age of 8. And just to have the heart that he did to even live for God, and it was beautiful. It was beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Does anyone have anything, any comments or whatever? This was a hard chapter for me. I'm just gotta and we'll probably go back over because I just don't understand everything. Maybe the questions was off. Because when I read it, I did understand what I was reading, but then when I got ready to answer the questions, they were confusing or conflicting or whatever you want to call it. Because there is no way we should have been answering questions from another book. They should have said it. I just don't understand that.
Yeah.
So, yeah. This was a hard one right here for me. Mm-hmm. But cause I'll always look at the commentary, but I just kind of read through my Bible and stuff, and I got different little Bibles here that's saying different little things, but it just amazes me how he was the man that reinstituted the Passover, and
mm-hmm.
he was lying with David. Mm-hmm.
That's power right now.
Yeah. Yeah, he reinstituted that Passover.
Oh,
huh?
He tore down some altars.
Yes, he did. And, and to me, when you turn down those altars, I think we still should be doing that today because, you know, what I get it to me with me being a prayer warrior, and I do, people pray from different altars. They pray evil prayers against people. God let me know that, and he me to start tearing down every evil altar when I pray.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. We need that.
Amen.
We always need that. We need to turn out every evil altar because you don't know what people pray. Just like we got our altars, they have theirs too. And we have to do that.
That's right.
Not just in the church, but everywhere else. Because they're everywhere.
Amen.
Also, what you're saying is so true. We have to even be careful how we go to these different country restaurants and support them. And they're so open with their religion. You know, that's why I really stopped eating Chinese food because they're praying over their food daily.
Yeah.
They pray over that stuff to Buddha.
Yeah.
They have symbols. They have symbols in here in them. They have symbols, and we don't even know what we eating. We just eating it. They killing rats, dogs. We just eating it. You know, rib tips. We don't know who ribs
those
are. That's
true.
Even though they got a good sauce, but guess what? They don't even eat their own stuff. They don't eat that what they sell to us.
Right.
So, you know, we just have to be careful. And now if you listen to it, GMO, you'll see GMO all over everything. GMO, GMO, GMO. Mm-hmm. GMO is something genetically made by man that's enhanced the food, allow us to enhance it and grow quickly. You know, cloning chicken, that stuff was real. That ain't fake. They still cloning chicken to keep it with the productivity, to make sure that they can still get the products out there on time. Things of that nature. So yeah, we got to be very careful. Milk ain't the same. My God, you get the milk in 3 days, it's gone.
Yeah.
And you know, because they're feeding the cows pellet grass. Do y'all know that? I'm in construction. I see it all the time. It's pellet.
Oh, yeah.
That they water. They put little water in it, and it gets on top of the grass, not in the grass, not down in the dirt, on top of the grass, and it grows itself. Pellets.
Really?
Yeah. And that's what our cows eat. That hay.
And not
that's
only
real
that,
hay, that's,
you know, they inject them with a growth hormone as well to produce 10% or more milk each day.
Body fat. Mm-hmm.
I know that I work for the company, so and telling you, these farmers, they buy it by the thousands. They spend thousands of dollars on that. So that's
really.
Oh yeah, that's why
I hate to mess y'all up. I'm gonna tell you, I hate to mess y'all up for those that like to eat, you know, vegetables and stuff like that. And I'm just picking on you. I'm picking on you. This is true. This is real. Do y'all know how they get, you know, the flowers to be so pretty, the collard greens and the cabbage? So, and it seems like it ain't been touched or ate by insects. They spray it with Raid.
But see what I'm saying?
Look it up.
Now, see, you're supposed to wash your stuff off anyway. But then
you'll be surprised.
But it's so important that we pray over our food anyway. We got to pray over that stuff.
Yeah.
We have to pray over our food. The enemy just sit around and watch us kill ourselves. We think we eating healthy and we eating poison, and he said they ain't gonna even pray over it. The enemy just sit around and watch us not pray. We have to pray over our food and bless. We got to bless that food before we put it in our mouth.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's so much. Even, not just the food, the water, all training, everything. That's why you need to pray and bless your water, bless your food. You know, it's just so many things you have to do in that. So we have to really be careful. But I do know, even the Chinese, when we go get our nails and stuff done, they had a little statues and stuff in there. You don't even hardly want to sit in there because of the spirits that be in there. They humble people.
Yes.
But when you praying to another God, we messed up. They pray to another God. They ain't praying to Jesus. They praying to that little fat, bald-headed man in there.
Buddha.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And they feed them cookies, and they put stuff out in front of them.
Oranges and all kinds of stuff.
I know. I just know, and they think he's bringing them money and he's bringing their finances in. That's what they think. That's why, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know about that. But they do a whole lot, and we go run right in there. We make a millionaire. Do you hear me? Go in there, get our nails done.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Their restaurant be all dirty, but we right there.
Yep, and they ain't going to eat no soul food.
No, I'm sorry. Yes. I'm just listening to everyone, and this is so good because what does God's word say? We purge for the lack of knowledge, right?
That's
and
it.
Just like what you said, we need to bless our food. Every time we look around in the news, it's saying something is not good. We're say, oh, it's good. It's good to eat, like, just like Bishop was saying, vegetables. You know, they say, oh, the safest thing is to eat vegetables all the time. Now we're finding out all this other stuff that's happening to vegetables. But what did God say? He said, I think scripture where, you know, you eat it, it won't affect you, but you have to stand on faith. You have to pray over your food. That's one of the tricks of the enemies because they, what we going to do? No, pray. Pray over
that's
your
right.
food because you don't know
yeah.
what's going on over it, you know. But you got to pray over it. And then what what we're finding out now about, well, I stopped eating Chinese food years ago, but the thing is, when you come to knowledge of it and you didn't think on it, wow, yeah, they pray to Buddha. You know, and here I am offering up my money to them and taking their food and ingesting it in my body. So I'm sinning because, you know, well, at the time I didn't know. But now once you get this knowledge and you know, you're not supposed to just say, oh, okay, just keep on doing it.
Yeah.
Right.
But you know what? People are not going to stop because we're giving money. We get our toes and our fingernails done. Buddha be sitting right up in there.
Mm-hmm. You ain't,
he be sitting
you ain't
right
lying.
Up in there.
Some of us going to Mars just to get a touch up.
Yeah.
But see, that's what we just pray and get that spirit out of us.
Well, it ain't going nowhere.
I was just thinking to myself, I said, Lord Jesus, you know, it's comical, but it's true. A man had a barber to die. His barber had passed away. And his words was, it's comical, but it's true. A man said, oh, man, my God, I can't believe he's dead. Where am I going to get a haircut from like that? In other words, what I'm saying is we're in a place where we're like, okay, Lord, I know that I need to do better, but where am I going to get that style?
Right, because you won't get it. I mean.
Mm-hmm.
It's something, because who going to stop going to get their nails and stuff done? I don't know who's going to stop.
I thought that was just so common. And the funny thing, and now we know. go ahead, Apostle.
No.
Hello?
Go on.
Oh, okay. Well, I wanted to go back to a verse that we were talking about, the 23rd chapter, excuse me, the fourth verse, because something really stuck out to me that we, I'm not saying that we missed, but it's not to the open eye. If you would go back and read that verse, it tells us something. It says this. It says the fourth verse says, and the king ordered Hilkiah, the high priest, the priest next in rank, and the doorkeepers to remove from the temple of the Lord all the articles made for Baal and Asherah, and all the starry host. And this is what it says, the next clause, it says, he burned them outside Jerusalem in the field of Kedron Valley. And I that stuck out to me because he kept talking about a valley named Kedron. It just kept mentioning it. And even though they're doing this, we have to realize that God, Jesus himself, multiverse. Okay? So, and as I begin to look into this this place, this particular place, it brought me to the Hebrew word for it. It's called the Valley of Decisions. That's what it means in Hebrew, the Valley of Decisions. While I was looking at it, it also talks about the Valley of Jehoshaphat. Valley of Jehoshaphat. So listen to this. This is so good when I got it. The book of Joel, the third chapter, the second verse says, I will gather together all nations and will bring them down into the Valley of Jehoshaphat. Then I will enter into judgment with them there on behalf of my people and for my inheritance, Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations, and they have divided up my land. Let the nations be roused. Let the nations be aroused and come up to the Valley of Jehoshaphat, which is the valley of that drone. Okay? I'm going to say it like that. But here it is. I had to go a little deeper. I had to go deeper because that valley wasn't too far away from the Mountain of Olives. It was on the other side of the Mountain of Olives. So picture this. While, like I said now, Jesus is omnipresent, right? Jesus, Jesus is in the Old Testament, well as the New Testament, and also Jesus is in the middle, which is the present. So what if I told you that Jesus' present time is not our time? The Bible says that the Hebrew calendar, they count down. We count up. I'm going to say it again. Hopefully you get it. The Jewish calendar, they count down. We count up. So December is our last year, our last month of the year. And to them, December can be the first of the year to them.
The first month.
Okay? In other words, when we see God, we see God, Jesus, coming from the future into his present. Okay? He's coming from where we're going. We're going towards the future. So what we believe is the future is actually not the future. It's actually the beginning. So when the Lord began to show me that this is actually going to be the beginning, why? Because he says, I'm bringing you back to a place called judgment. And also after judgment, as we know, great Armageddon, after the judge and all that stuff, and he's going to have this great war, and he's going to fight on the great war of Armageddon. But simultaneously, while they took at night, they took these ashes of all these old relics, these demonic spirits, these things that held ranking in the house of God. They took them outside of the city of Jerusalem to this valley, the valley called Jehoshaphat. Now, the Bible says the Valley of Jehoshaphat is on the other side of the mountain of Mount Olive, which is also the mountain of Mount Transfiguration.
That's right.
So think about this. While they're bringing this to a place called Decision, Jesus at night goes into a garden on the outskirts of the valley, which is actually the old Jerusalem. It's the old Jerusalem. And Jesus is praying three times. He's praying for the present. He's praying for the future, and he's also praying for the past. Y'all see that? And when he's praying for this, what happens now, prophetically, Jesus is just declaring, because Isaiah talks about Jesus, Zechariah talks about Jesus coming in on a donkey, on an ass. Okay, so everybody is talking about Jesus. Jesus is nothing but word. That's all he does. The majority of the time he's on the earth, he doesn't really touch a lot of people, but he speaks the word. That's all that, you know, in the beginning was the word was God, the word was with God. And everything, then the word became flesh. So everything that Jesus did was word. But what I'm trying to tell you is that simultaneously, while they're doing this, while they're throwing the ashes out, Jesus is praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, which is actually on the Mountain of Transfiguration, which is called Mountain of Olives. I just wanted to give that information because we need to understand the time. So when God is in the midst of you, Jesus says, I'll be with you even until the end of the earth. So guess what? While we're having study now, he's in the future, but also in his present and also in our past. And he's praying because he prayed a prayer of faith. And the Bible said that he prayed one prayer three times. He said, Lord, don't take them out. He said, but leave them in. He said, but give them strength. Give them, and strength, he meant the power, which is the Holy Ghost. So Jesus was praying that the Holy Spirit would come. And the fundamental about Josiah is that, here it is, the relic, the old Bible was there when they came and they destroyed the temple. And when they're coming to rebuild the temple, all right, after it's being rebuilt, they found these old relics. Now, you got to remember who tore down these things. Hezekiah, which is the grandfather of Josiah, and which is also the sibling, I wouldn't say sibling, but he was also, I believe he was a grandson or something of that nature, or great-grand, of David. So they didn't talk about any of these other people. They talked about David because the power is in the lineage. And sometimes the lineage can skip a generation. I think I'm talking too much. But I just want to just give the information.
You're doing good. That's good talk. That's good. Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, I just wanted to give that. I'll say this. Let me go here, and then I'm going to explain it a little bit more in detail about the Garden of Gethsemane. But I think that this is a very important piece that we're not looking at per se. Okay, and I'm going to show you that this is in my notes. All right, this is about the Mountain of Transfiguration. Listen, who else was on this Mountain of Transfiguration? This Mountain of Transfiguration, also David was on the same Mountain of Olives when he was running from his son Absalom. Okay? All right. When he ran from Absalom, David was in this mountain. Because this is a place of prayer. Jesus always, and the reason why some people say, well, why Jesus would pray in the mountain, why would he go to a valley? Jesus prayed in these places because it represents life's ups and downs. Sometimes you could be at the highest peak in your life, and you got to pray as if you're going through.
That's right.
So the going through, which is the valley, which is the lowest part, you got to pray like you're still going through. If everything is happening, that's why most times when I minister, I preach like I'm going crazy, because I'm preaching as if I'm still in, I'm still in the valley. I'm still going through. I'm still heartbroken. I'm still striving for something. I lost something. And you know what? Let me stop and just put a pause there. Because this is what they tell actors to do, how to get the role. They tell them to go to a very deep place, go to a very hurt place and bring that out. Whatever pain hurts you, so when we are dealing with God, I have to deal with him from two perspectives, the The Bible said come boldly before him, but also come like little children. That means somehow I got to have a boldness before him, and also I got to learn how to submit my boldness.
Mm-hmm.
So when Jesus was praying in these mountains, in these places, before he was transfigured, and that's a whole discussion by itself, but I just want to talk about how Zechariah talked about Jesus coming in on an ass, and Zechariah was also praying in this same Mountain of Olives. Let me tell you something. If you could ever experience a place where Jesus or anyone great or powerful ever walked, you will feel that anointing.
Mm-hmm. I bet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And I'm not just talking about them. I'm talking about there's some great men and women of God right now on this earth. And you can just, you can sit in a seat and you can feel the rage of the anointing of God. Mm-hmm. Like, let me get up. The Bible says that King Saul walked among the prophets and he began to prophesy. That means almost said something. But that man ain't never prophesied in his life. But when you get around prophets, it makes you want to prophesy. When you get around people that speak in tongues, it should give you that desire. That it should put a bubbling in your spirit that makes you want to just go crazy. Come on. It makes you want to go crazy because I'm feeling it. And it's so sad how people would sit down on the anointing of God just because they didn't start it.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they'll sit down on the anointing, and then they make you look foolish because you're the only one up. You're the only one standing. You're the only one worshiping. But sometimes you got to be like Hannah and forget the very thought that, Lord, I'm coming for me. I don't care who's looking. I don't care who saw. Oh, come on. I don't care who saw my tears. I don't care if they think I'm going through. Say what you want. I might not be going through something, but I'm going to pray like I'm going through. I'm going to pray like I still need him, even though he gave me everything I needed. I'm going to pray like something is about to take place.
You
even
better
though
teach.
I'm in the best place of my life, I'm not feeling down, I'm not hurt, but I'm going to pray like something is about to break out.
Yes.
The Bible said that Jesus prayed. The Bible said it was so thick on his head until it looked like blood. His sweat was as thick as blood. And the reason being is because Jesus was going through time. Hallelujah. What do you mean that he's going through time? In other words, what I'm trying to get you to see is that Jesus came here today. He met us right here in the Garden of Gethsemane. Hallelujah. He met them. While we're reading about them, he's with them. Some of you are waiting on God to do something. When God is saying, I'm trying to get you where I am so that you don't have to worry about what you can't see. The problem Josiah was in a place where he felt there's so many women and men of God that really felt like they're supposed to finish the work. Look at John the Baptist. The Bible says that John himself was in prison, and his men would not go to Jesus. They stayed with John. They would come and they would minister with him. They would talk to him through the gate. And John told them, go ask Jesus. He said, go ask him, is he the one or should we wait for another? In other words, John knew who Jesus was. But at the same time, sometimes you can feel as if you're in prison in your mind, and it'll make you question everything God just did. It'll make you question every ability that God gave you. It'll make you question every thought. I just saw someone give their life to Christ. I just saw an accident, and nobody died.
Because
I'm in prison in my mind. The Bible says, but by the time that the men get to Jesus to ask them the question, the Bible says that the disciples of John the Baptist tell Jesus while he's ministering, this got to be funny, this got to be crazy and stupid all at the same time. Because you don't see me working, but you're going to interrupt me to ask me a question when you can just look and see the healing of people come in. In other words, there are some people that are watching you work
and do the things of ministry, but because they've seen it before, they won't give God the praise. Because they've already experienced this before, they're saying
Jesus,
this is nothing
Jesus.
New. That's why the Bible says, some would say, when Jesus asked the question, who do men say that I am? He said, some people called you a liar. Some people called you a prophet. Some people call you all sorts of things. Because guess what? Jesus grew up in Egypt, but the problem was, is not that he was in Egypt, but the problem was they got too familiar with his anointing.
All right.
Remember when he was a little boy? Hallelujah. And he began to teach the scribes. Why? Where were these scribes? Hallelujah. He didn't just teach them, amen, in Jerusalem. He also taught them in the synagogues and also taught them in Egypt. Hallelujah. He taught them, hallelujah. He taught them everywhere he went as a young man. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
So guess what? So now he's saying, who do they say I am? But then he had another question. Who do you say I am? We should be able to see one of our brothers and sisters in Christ go through. Hallelujah, and get someone saved and delivered. And guess what? We should be excited, not because that they got someone delivered, but because their name is written in the book of life.
Come on now.
When Jesus began to ask this question, something puzzled him. Hallelujah. You got to realize, and some of us get like this now, we get irritated with dumb questions. We get irritated with dumb things, and sometimes it's not the fact that they're dumb people, it's just that they're dumbfounded. In other words, you're ignorant to the fact that you're not understanding what God is doing, and I can't see this as far as I can throw it. So because I can't see it, I can't believe in it. Hallelujah. In the midst of all your life, and you still don't believe. There's something in you that is doubting the very existence of God. Hallelujah. And I'm going to tell you, that's a lot of us going around right now. We're preaching for money. We're preaching for accolades. Amen. But we're not preaching for the sanctification. We're not preaching for the justification. We're not preaching for holiness. We're not preaching for kingdom. All we're preaching is for what we can get out of it. Hallelujah. And he says, who do you say I am? Now, I'm going to be honest with you. That was more of a trick question to those around him, because he's trying to find out who God is about to use. That's what this was. This was about to say who God is getting ready to use. Hallelujah. Who do you say I am? Hallelujah. And when these men get to Jesus in a place, amen, of obscurity, they come in a place of puzzlement. Hallelujah. The Bible says, amen, he said, look around you. Hallelujah. When Jesus heals you, when Jesus touches you, he makes you whole. That's a total difference than when somebody, a prophet, come by and touch each other. There's an old song that says, he touched me. He touched me, and all the joy that filled my soul, something happened, and now I know he touched me, and made me whole. The problem is that when God touches you, hallelujah, you're just healed. You got medication.
Yes, God. Thank
hallelujah.
You, Lord.
But you're not
thank
made whole. Lord. Hallelujah. And the people of God need to understand that we need to be touched in the right places. Hallelujah.
God.
We need to be touched. Amen. In the right place. And when God touches you for real, then guess what? Then everything makes sense.
Oh.
Yes, God. Thank you, Lord.
God be the glory.
Yes, God. Hallelujah. Yep. That was good, Bishop.
Yeah, this was good.
So good.
Wow.
Grace and peace.
It would say wow. It is. It's like, wow. You know, Bible study, and then we get a whole bunch of revelation and meat.
Come on now. That was good.
Oh, man, I was
amen.
I'm going to be trying to take next.
Revelation.
Yes, this is so much. It makes me want to go back over what Bishop was talking about. And just all these different people tying up the Mount of Olives. You know, you read about the Mount of Olives,
so
but, you know, wow.
prophetic.
That was just a, oh, it just hit my spirit when he talked about when Jesus prayed and then the blood, oh my goodness, he was praying ahead. He's always ahead in the future. And it's like, wow. You know, then you understand when he was praying, you always wonder the drip of blood. I was like, oh man.
That was good.
Yeah, the physical man cannot enter quantum leap. That's called quantum. That means you're going so fast through time until it almost ripped the body apart.
Mm.
The speed of light, that's strong. It's called quantum. Well, our bodies cannot go through the atmosphere of quantum. But because his body was already transfigured, it can, he can pray in three dimensions. He can die in three places. That's why when we take communion, it put us back at the scene of his death and his resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
We take, that's so what communion is.
So the drops of blood that he was dripping while he was praying, that represented him on the cross?
Time. It did. But it also represents time.
Woo!
That was good.
His body was whole.
Yes. I mean, that's awesome right there. You know, I don't use to, only time I use the word awesome is when it's pertaining to Jesus God. Wow. You know.
That's good. Well,
that was
powerful
right there.
Like, mm-hmm. I really. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. Thank you, Bishop.
I just thank God because I ask for deeper revelation in his word, deep study, and I'm getting it right here. Woo, hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Thank
you.
Good. Thank you.
Well, we just give God all the glory. I didn't expect it. I guess I was so confused. He probably anyway over these questions and stuff. So I thank and praise God for Bishop being on here tonight. And I know you all do too, because we got more than what we bargained for. And it was good. On this Thursday we don't have Bible class. Usually it's Tuesday and Thursday, but I think it's the first and third Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So we don't have it this Thursday. But the next week, you know, we'll have a Tuesday and Thursday. So I will see you all. I just thank everyone for coming on, being on here tonight. I had some people that had to leave off, but it's okay. I know why they had to leave off of here. So I will be up in the morning by the grace of God if you let me live and nothing happens in the morning on the live broadcast. And we'll see you then. So, Father, we just thank you for the word. We thank you for Bishop Davis on tonight, God. We just thank you that you allowed him to minister to us that was much needed word of God. We just thank you on tonight, Father. We thank you for everyone that came to the broadcast, the Blog Talk broadcast on tonight. And I ask you now, God, to just let this thing be able so we can apply everything we've learned or something that we've learned to our lives, God. I ask you to bless the ones under the sound of my voice, God, and cover and bless their families. I ask all of these things in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen, amen, amen. So God bless you all. We will be back. I will be on in the morning on the Facebook for morning prayer. So you all have a blessed and wonderful night, a good night, and we will see you in the morning.
Amen.
God bless you. Thanks. Good night.
Bless
everyone. Good night.
Good night.